Welcome to the Engage Podcast from Blackbaud, the podcast for people dedicated to purpose-driven work. From nonprofit fundraising and finance to grant-making, education, and corporate social responsibility, we're talking with sector experts and thought leaders about the best practices and latest trends that will help you grow your impact.
Hello, everyone. I'm Dan Kiewerth, Vice President of Customer Success Modernization at Blackbaud. And today I'm thrilled to be joined by Patrick Schmidt, CEO and co-founder of FreeWill. And in this podcast today, we're going to be discussing how to enhance your end of year fundraising with non-cash gifts. Welcome to the show, Patrick. And please tell us a bit more about yourself, your background and the work you do.
Great, Dan. Thanks so much for having me. I am the co-CEO and co-founder of FreeWill. I've been doing that for about 8 years. FreeWill is the largest planned giving company in the world. We are about 230 employees as of our recording, founded 8 years ago with my wonderful co-founder, Jenny Shias Spradling, who I met when we were both doing graduate work at Stanford University. Before this, I had several interesting social change roles, but notably, I helped build a company called Change.org from about 10 people to 300 and to about 250 million users over the course of 4 years, and that was a joy. And before that, I helped to lead fundraising, particularly over email, for President Obama for a couple of years. And so in that world, we got to invent a lot of the best practices in digital fundraising that many of you use today.
Oh, that's awesome. Well, that's a fantastic background and introduction, so let's get right into it. So to start us off, you know, can you tell us what non-cash gifts are and what's excluded?
Sure. So inherently, non-cash gifts are exactly what it says, gifts that are not cash. And so but when we talk about non-cash, we really talk about this sort of sub-bucket of things that are not cash that we call smart gifts. And so smart gifts are called such because they tend to have tax advantages in the United States over giving cash. But the largest types that are meaningful to talk about are, one, gifts of stock or securities. Two, gifts out of a donor advised fund, which are one of the fastest growing types of giving in the country. Three, gifts that are called qualified charitable distributions. These are gifts from folks over 70 and a half years old. It's the fastest growing type of giving among older folks. And then gifts of cryptocurrency, which is one of the fastest growing types of giving among younger folks. And so when we talk about smart giving and non-cash giving, we really focus on those four key areas. There are some other types as well, but they tend to be much less common. And so if you are a 15, 20, 30 person development org, you're probably branching into things like real estate or charitable gift annuities. But for most of us, those are the four types of gifts that are very accessible and can be put into action relatively quickly and result in much larger gifts from exactly the same people.
Thank you, Patrick. And there's clearly an element of complexity and sophistication here. So can you help us by explaining the different types of non-cash donations that are perhaps most beneficial for our end-of-year fundraising campaigns? Incredibly important time of year for social impact organizations. So tell us a bit about where you see the greatest benefit.
Yeah, so the biggest two are stocks and donor advised funds. So I'll dive into those first. But a gift of stock is exactly what it sounds like. A stock is a portion of a company, or it could be a portion of a mutual fund, which is just portions of other companies. And if you are anything except the absolute most unlucky investor, you would have a lot of what we call appreciated assets over the last several years, if not several decades. And so appreciated assets just mean assets that are worth more now than what you paid for them back in the day, either a year ago or 10 years ago or 50 years ago. Now, the way that this works is people donate stock, and meaning that they transfer the stock directly to a nonprofit. They don't sell it and give the proceeds. They transfer it directly to a nonprofit. Now, there's two enormous benefits from stock giving, one for the donor and one for the nonprofit. For the donor, if I give your organization stock and I have given organization stock, two things happen. One is I get a tax deduction for the full value of the stock, the same amount that I would get in cash, as long as I've held that stock for more than a year, which most people have. So now I've got this big tax deduction, exactly the same as what I get if I send a check for the same amount. The other component for the donor is that I don't pay any capital gains taxes on that stock. And so I get, again, the full federal tax deduction and state deductions in many places, and I don't pay any capital gains taxes at a state or at a local level. So if you are in California, for instance, or in New York and you're a high earner, you might be saving 50, 60, 70 cents on the dollar in some cases because of all of the tax savings that you're getting. So that's a huge benefit to donors. Now, what you might guess is that the benefit to the nonprofit is that these gifts tend to be much larger than the same person giving cash. And so people have said things to me like, at a college, I build an entire building off gifts of stock. I mean, they just tend to be the transformational gifts. And the reason for that, again, is twofold. One is more tax savings means I'm willing to give more. But two, and this is a really key component for all types of non-cash giving, when people give from their assets and they think about their assets, they give far more than when they give out of their income or the cash available, right? Cash in terms of money in checking account or savings account tends to be only about 3% of all assets in the United States. And it's the area we feel most scarce about. But when we give these investment assets, an average stock gift, for instance, on our platform is about $13,000 compared to an average cash gift of about $100. So that's the big benefits of stock gifts. And if you're not set up to take stock gifts, please do so immediately. But even worse, most people are set up to take stock gifts, meaning organizations, but they don't actively market it and they don't make it easy for donors. And so that's a, you know, that's the other 90% of the work. And so we can talk more about what that looks like. The second type of giving that is extremely important is what are called donor advised funds. And many of your listeners will be very familiar with donor advised funds, but we just did a presentation with the National Philanthropic Trust, two of them, one at a conference and one virtual. And one thing we revealed in that presentation is that there's now more than $250 billion sitting in donor advised funds as of the end of 2023. And so 2024 has been a very good stock year. You might expect by the end of 2024, $280, $290, $300 billion sitting in donor advised funds. And by the way, that money is being granted out with some frequency. It's not being held there, right? Donors can never take it back. But again, you have to actively solicit donor advised fund grants if you actually want these. But those gifts are exploding in part for the same reason stock gifts are exploding and the reason that smart gifts are exploding, because people are putting not cash into donor advised funds, but they're putting stocks and bonds and mutual funds. And so then that money is being transferred directly to the nonprofit in the form of cash. But it's just a simple question of asking for it. People that own stock and people that own, or people that have donor advised fund accounts, these are not some sort of mysterious other group. They're the folks that are already in your donor base. And the most important thing to be doing is asking regularly.
So it's clear here, there is a really significant opportunity for nonprofits and the benefits both with stock gifts and with donor advised funds. The opportunity is huge. But what are some of the requirements for non-cash donations? And how do you as a nonprofit provide the right documentation to your donors?
That's right. So just to get a little specific, and it varies by type of non-cash gift. And so if you're giving stock or crypto, what you do is you say, thank you, this is your receipt. We have received your 27 shares of Apple stock or your 3.5 Bitcoin. And that's all you need to do. It's very easy on the nonprofit side. And then the donor has some work to do to make sure they get the right tax benefit. It's usually the average of the high and low on that day. And so there's sort of a fair market value component there. But what we need to do is make sure that we're asking for these. And asking for them means a couple things. One is we really recommend that in every email campaign, you make a note that says, you know, something like many of our donors choose to give stock, a grant out of their donor advised funds, give qualified charitable distributions, et cetera, for additional tax savings. And we're reminding people each time that we do any outreach that they can give this. Why do we do that? One, because these gifts get so big that you really want to have them. But two, as I mentioned earlier, when you remind people of your assets, they give more. Yeah. And that's true even if they're just giving cash. So if you want your cash program to succeed, you should be marketing non-cash gifts. If you want your non-cash program to succeed, you should be marketing non-cash gifts. And so things like that. And then one thing that we've done a lot of training on is we help major gift officers in these sort of free trainings that we do, make sure that they're asking for these non-cash gifts. And they don't feel like, they don't have to feel like they're experts. They just have to say, you know, many people are doing this. Would you like me to share more information about this? Or, you know, is this something you'd ever be interested in? Or do you have a donor advised fund? And once we can identify those folks, we tend to just be able to steward them and get much larger gifts.
Wow. So, okay. So it's clear, you've laid out clearly there's a lot of opportunity and there's some really practical things that, that social impact organizations can do to attract these from their donors. But perhaps share with us now, what are some of the common challenges organizations might face when they're accepting non-cash donations and how can they work to overcome some of those challenges?
Sure. So for the most part, a lot of the challenge is inertia. And people that get started are surprised at how simple it is. People think they need a, you know, an MBA or a finance degree to take a stock gift. What you really need to do is make sure your EIN is on your website and make sure you're asking for these gifts generally. But some of the other challenges that people have is they say things like, I don't know who in my donor base has a donor advised fund. And how do I figure that out? And one thing that we suggest is make sure you're including this in your normal fundraising asks, and those folks will surface because it's better for them to give the donor advised fund grant than a cash gift. And then you can go have one-on-one conversations and steward them as well, right? Other people say, I don't know which of my donors is over 70 for a qualified charitable distribution. And then we say, okay, well, what percentage of your total donors are over 70? Many of them say things like 40 or 50 or even 60%. Say, great. Well, if 60% or half or even 40% of your donor base is in this category, just make sure to include a postscript in a given email and say, did you know you can give out of your qualified charitable distribution, which satisfies your required minimum distribution, which is if you're over 70, you know exactly what we're talking about. And just these sort of regular reminders, it make it accessible for folks. And then what happens is the real hurdle is getting them to give this away the first time. Once they give a stock gift and realize, wow, I just saved, you know, I gave me a $10,000 stock gift, but I saved $6,500 in taxes or $5,000 in taxes, then they tend to do it again and again and again. So that's a big challenge, is sort of the nonprofits getting off the sidelines, helping the donors make their first gift. And then you have a flywheel effect that results in just an enormous amount of long-term giving.
Fantastic. Well, I'm convinced. I want to get started straight away. And I imagine a number of our listeners are thinking the same. And we've got a big few weeks ahead of us with Giving Tuesday, with year-end fundraising. So tell us why it's important for nonprofits to be including non-cash donations now as part of their end-of-year fundraising strategy.
Well, so this sort of structured giving, this, you know, sitting down at the kitchen table with your spouse and saying, where should we give this year and how should we give and how much? That's really the time that you can drive a ton of non-cash giving. We said, oh, you know, we're doing all our giving, we're being thoughtful about it. Maybe they have a financial advisor who's discussed a couple of these options with them in the past. Now say, okay, well, now it's a good chance to try that stock gifts with my alma mater or with our son's school or with our, you know, our daughter's Girl Scout troop or whatever it may be. And so end of year giving is the time when non-cash gifts spike. And it makes it a really good opportunity to identify your non-cash donors. And then you can follow up with them, of course, throughout the year. Now, a couple other things happen at end of year. One is, as you know, end of year is the end of the tax season. And so being able to lock in those tax savings with a donation is what spurs the rest of giving. And being able to lock in those cash savings with a large stock gift gets you even more tax savings. And it's a time when people are usually doing their year-end portfolio review. So we say, wow, our Tesla stock went up, our Facebook stock went up, I guess Meta now, our Apple stock went down. Let's give the stuff that went up and we'll save ourselves a bunch of cash that way. And so that leads to a real spike in what we see. Q4 just tends to dominate non-cash giving in QCDs, in donor advised funds, and in stock gifts. Cryptocurrency tends to fluctuate a little bit more with the market. Crypto markets are all over the place, but it just so happens this year that crypto is off the charts at all-time highs at exactly the time of end of year giving. Now, interestingly, donor advised funds also tend to go up in January and February, and these are grants in out of donor advised funds, whereas the money going into donor advised funds spikes at the end of the year. And that's because people have unloaded a bunch of stock gifts into donor advised funds at the end of the year for all the reasons we just discussed. And then they look up at the beginning of the year and say, okay, great, look, now let's put this in action. Let's have some real impact with this. And January, February is a great time to talk to your donor advised fund donors as well as the end of the year.
Fantastic. And I know that we're predominantly focused here around US giving, and some of the vehicles will vary from country to country in terms of the tax benefits and the opportunities available. But at a high level, there's a global opportunity here for organizations to be thinking about how they can leverage non-cash gifts. That's correct, isn't it?
Exactly. It's enormous. And you're right that the tax benefits, obviously, what we're talking about are specifically to the United States, and each country will have its own tax regime with different upsides and downsides. But yet the psychological benefits of focusing on assets are not defined by country borders. And so in Canada and Mexico and Australia and South Africa and the Philippines, all of these things will still be true, right? So wherever you are in the world, really understanding the assets that can be given will result in larger gifts from the same people. And just to drive this home, there's some really, really important research done by Dr. Russell James over a five-year period looking at more than a million tax returns in the U.S. And what it found, the study found, is that organizations that take non-cash gifts, any type of non-cash gifts at all, grow by about 55% over that period, over 5 years. Organizations taking stocks and securities grow by 66%. And organizations that only take cash only grow by 11%. And this is true, by the way, it's, you know, the percentages vary, but the order of those things is true across every sector. It's true across every small, medium, large, extra large size of organization. Across the board, this is just one of the most important pieces of academic research on fundraising. And it just seems to be demonstrably true again and again. You know, the core, if you only take one thing away from this podcast, you will grow five times faster on average if you take non-cash gifts, including or any type of non-cash gifts, and six times faster if you also take stocks and securities compared to if you just take cash. So if you're interested in growing the organization, this is an absolute must.
Wow. Those are seriously impressive returns. I have one last question for you. Can you share some particular success stories that you've seen where non-cash donations have significantly contributed to an organization's year-end fundraising goals? Any particular success stories you'd like to share?
Sure. One to share is there's an organization called the Cure Blindness Project, and you can sort of imagine what they do. They focus on curing blindness. They have a sizable number of donors, and they had never really dove into non-cash giving. And so we got to work with them as part of Freewill. Freewill has a whole suite of tools around non-cash gifts, and that meant, you know, really starting to engage their supporters on qualified charitable distributions, cryptocurrency, donor advised funds, and stock. And Ruth Bolin, who is the chief development officer there, really smart, really forward thinking, said, you know, for our organization to move forward, we need to start embracing this. Now, they did a couple of things which were not that much work, but were really important. So they put links to the non-cash gifts on their website. And then many organizations will also include this on their donate page. So when people are asked to give $50, they're also reminded that they could give $50,000 out of their donor advised fund, right? We don't want to lose out on that money. And so it just became a staple of their email campaigns, in newsletters, in print materials. And they also just did some basic training for their gift officers. And some of you will have a team of 12 gift officers. Some of you might have an executive director, but that person still can do some basic training and just say, you know, to your loyal donors, here's some different ways to give if you're interested. And what they found is they got significantly larger gifts, not from some magic new group of people, but from the same donors they already had. And in the first year, they got an additional $700,000 in real-time non-cash gifts, which was an enormous increase. And this was, I don't have the exact revenue of the org at my fingertips, but this is not a large organization. And so $700,000 is a huge boon to the work that they're doing. And again, this is separate from any new donors being added. It's separate from any other sort of magical fundraising component, but changing the way that people give is the biggest way to increase their giving size.
Wonderful. Well, what an awesome success story to end the show with. And it's really clear that there are some really practical things that our charities can be doing right now that will help them to see some of the benefits from non-cash giving. So thank you so much, Patrick, for joining us today, for sharing your expertise. I hope all our listeners will have enjoyed today's podcast episode. We definitely encourage everyone who's listening to check out the show notes for some more resources as well. And very much hope our listeners will join us again soon for another episode of the Engage podcast. Thanks so much again, Patrick.
Thank you so much.